did heat up the water, just so that you know. But it's chilly in here today. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Lift him up. This is Archibald William, and we welcome him into the family of faith. Come down closer. Hold him. Both of you hold him. Yeah, there you go. Archibald William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would the godparents come forward as well to lay on hands? Archibald William, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated into the Holy Spirit, into God's new creation, and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. On a Sunday in October of the year 1967, Lona and May O'Neill went down to the front at Walnut Hill Methodist Church in Dallas, bringing a little baby boy. The big boy you see in front of you right now, for baptism. The pastor there at the time, Dr. Ira Galloway, took me into his arms. He cooed at me. He asked Mom and Dad what my name would be, and they told him. And then they performed the blessing on the water. And then he takes me, and he lifts me up and shows me to the congregation. Cute little baby wearing a little sailor suit based on the pictures. And he says, "This is Gregory Scott coming for Christian baptism." And in this high holy moment of great joy and excitement on my mom and dad's part and my grandparents' part and aunts and uncles' part there at Walnut Hill Methodist Church, all of whom were members of the church family there, in this great and holy moment, Gregory Scott Neal decided to pee. And I had some kind of a wardrobe malfunction because the diaper was loose and it came out, friends, all over Ira Galloway. Now, run your time scale forward to the year 2008, General Conference in Fort Worth. I'm standing in the Cokesbury section looking over some books, thinking about how I can waste some more money on some more theological textbooks or something. And I'm looking around, and I see across from me a man with a name tag on, and it was Ira Galloway, who I, by the way, at that point in time, had never met, yeah, at least not as an adult. Now, he had moved a long time ago, not too long after my baptism. I know it wasn't because of me. He had moved up to Illinois. He was pastor and a district superintendent up there, and now he was a delegate in his last time to be a delegate to General Conference in 2008, a delegate to General Conference. And I look at him and I said, "Are you Dr. Ira Galloway who used to pastor Walnut Hill in Dallas?" And he looked startled and he said, "Yes, I am that man." So I went around the books and I came up to him and I introduced myself and I said, "You will probably not remember this, but when you baptized me back in 1967, I peed all over you." And he said, "Oh, I remember it very well." Oh, my word. Baptism. It's probably one of the most important moments in a Christian's life. Like Archie, I don't physically remember my, thank God I don't physically remember. I've been told about it many different ways by many different people. You get together with a group of our family, and if they were there and you talk about baptism, they'll all say, "Oh, you need to hear the story about Greg's baptism." Wow. It's the most important event in the life of a Christian because it begins our journey as an outward and visible sign. It begins our journey in the inward and spiritual grace of God. It begins our journey with Christ. It begins our journey into eternity. For in baptism, God has said to each and every one of us, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." What God said to Jesus after his baptism there in the Jordan River, now almost 2,000 years ago, what God said there to Jesus, God says to each and every one of us, "You are my beloved child, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." When we baptize, that is the outward and visible sign of that very inward and spiritual grace, where God has said to us, where God said to Archie today, "You are mine." Now that was said about Archie and to Archie from the cross nearly 2,000 years ago when Jesus stretched out his arms and lovingly gave himself for us all, lovingly gave himself for Archie and for each and every one of us. And it is said eternally, and it is said at the moment of his birth, and it is said again at his baptism, and it will be said again repeatedly every moment of his life and of our lives. God says, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." And there's nothing, there's not a thing that any of us can ever do that will ever change that declaration or that affirmation of God. God will always love us, and God will always view us as God's child. Now, when I was growing up, one of the things I wanted to do so desperately was to earn, was to be worthy of my father's love and pleasure. I wanted to earn it. I wanted to deserve it. I wanted to be good enough for my mom and my dad to love me, to receive me, to call me theirs, to give them pleasure. But you know what? I didn't have to earn it. Just like we don't have to earn anything to have God's love. We don't have to do anything to have God's love. We don't have to be anything or anyone in order to please God. God has already loves us and already takes pleasure in us. Archie was baptized, did nothing for that baptism. His parents brought him forward. His godparents loved them. The grandparents and other family surrounded him with love and brought him forward. All he did was receive it. We simply receive God's love. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We can't deserve it. But because God is love, God loves us so much that that love will never leave us or forsake us. The night my dad died, I remember I was in the hospital and I had to go away for a church meeting. And they always tend to get in the way, don't they? And I went up to my dad and I said, "Dad, I've got to go. I've got to go to a meeting at church." And he reached up his hand, he touched my face, and he said in one of his last lucid moments, Mom said, he said to me, "I love you. Now go make me proud." God loves us, loves you, loves Archie, loves each and every one of us without exception, and is well pleased with us. Yes, we fail. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we don't do what we're supposed to do. Yes, we make mistakes, sometimes big ones. Just like our parents love us, our grandparents love us, our aunts and uncles love us, so also God loves us and will never leave us or forsake us. That's what baptism is about. God's unearned, never-ending, always present, always transforming love. A love that filters us. Now, that's a strange term to use here, but it does. God's love filters through us, removing that which shouldn't be there and replacing it with love. God's love comes to us in our baptisms to filter out the stuff that doesn't need to be there and filter in the very love and presence of God. Give thanks and praise to God today for your baptisms. If you can remember them physically, fine. If you can't, fine. Be remembered to your baptismal grace and give thanks and praise to God for that amazing grace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with God and one another. This is the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not a Methodist table, not a Protestant table, not a Catholic table. It's God's table. It's Christ's table. It's the table of the Lord. And so today we come to the table. All are welcome to come and receive the consecrated elements. There will be two cups that you will take out of the tray together. The bottom cup will have bread in it, gluten-free bread, and the cup above it will have grape juice in it. You can receive both elements this way. We do this for safety reasons. Look forward to the day we can get back to regular bread, but we got to wait. So So I invite you to come to the table of the Lord today. We'll receive down here, single file, in two lines, and then you may go and kneel if you wish before returning to your pew. Join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time would come when he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on this gift of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.